Morning, everybody. And as we have also selected a chairperson for our eldership committee, and that was done by a complete democratic process within this team. They nominated a couple of candidates, and that was allowed for people, both staff and non-staff. And after a round of voting, then Pastor Jack Ferreira was then nominated and selected as the chairperson for, and he's chairman of the eldership board. So congratulate him on that position, and we feel very comfortable. I'm going to ask that you please stretch out your hands and let's just pray for them. Father, we thank you that in Scripture, it is so clear how important the elders are in any local body, that it is their function, Lord, to make sure that we are fulfilling our purposes and our calling in terms of what a church is supposed to do in bringing your kingdom to earth. And we thank you for blessing us with such amazing people that are not only very competent, that are very experienced, that have knowledge, but more importantly, probably, love you and have a heart for your people. And we thank you for this team and for this period of time that they will serve as the elders. We pray that, first of all, you'll give us a great unity amongst the elders, and then also, Lord, that each person's gifting will find its place and will find a role to play in the health and well-being of this body. And we thank you for them, Lord, and their willingness to give time and energy towards this. And we pray, Lord, that every seed they sow will be returned to them hundredfold, and that in heaven one day they will reserve eternally the reward for that which they have sown. And we thank you for them. We bless them. We thank you for this group. And we thank you that we can have an eldership like this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you can give them a final good round of applause. And thank you very much, everybody. You're welcome to take your seats. You're welcome to stay up here with me if you want to, or you can go sit down. Well, just from my side, as they're making their way down to their seats, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day. I know they have spoken to you about the gift, but if I'm right, we haven't prayed. Have we prayed for the mothers yet, Jack? Have we prayed for the mothers? We have. Okay. So I was included in that prayer, and just want to say we really appreciate you and what you do, not only as mothers, but as representatives of who God is. We need you to show us who God is in a part. We'll only get a really half-skewed idea of who God is if we only had men that showed us who God was. Amen? I always say when Natasha goes away somewhere, it works well in our home. The boys, everything, it's run like a military camp. We get everything done. The house stays clean. There's no problems. The only lack is there's no place for feelings. There's no place for hurt or anything like that. Now, I always think it's really great. And then she comes back and then they start telling her how they suffered and, you know, how terrible things were. And then, you know, she just knows how to make them feel better. So we need mothers to show us who God is. And we appreciate each and every one of you that are physical mothers and also that fulfill a role as spiritual mothers and in that way, and we really appreciate you. It's the second week that we are now into our 120 series, and I think we had a good time last week kicking it off, and I trust that you've been hearing good things throughout the city. We've been just connecting with other church leaders in the city and just hearing good things from them as they've had just this series and sharing together, and we believe God for something new in our city and a new level of unity that will ultimately produce a new level of God's blessing over our city, that we will see more visible the kingdom of God come through the church in our city. And I encourage you and ask you to continue to pray with us for God to do some significant in these next, we've now got 4 weeks left of this, 4 Sundays, and let's all trust the Lord together for His moving and His working among us. Today, the title of this week's topic for this series is 1-1. And one, O-N-E, one, and then W-O-N. And that means just we're going to talk about the victory that we have in Jesus. And I think when we've all been alive long enough and served the Lord long enough to have experienced how often our victory and our defeat seems to come almost in one package sometimes. And it's so closely related to each other. When one of our children were born, we experienced that tremendous, joyous event of a new child and a new arrival. And finally, we get to see him and it's another boy and he looks like me and it's all so wonderful and it's so great. And everything is, you know, you're so ecstatic as a parent. And, you know, Natasha was just waiting. When can she go home and bring the baby home? And you know, when before the mother is allowed to leave, the doctor comes and does a final little checkup and then signs off and you can go. So our pediatrician came that morning and he came and checked up the baby and he did a checkup and then he leant over to Natasha and he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to go home today. Your child has a murmur in his heart." And walked off. Didn't explain to her what that meant, didn't explain what that was all about. And so I'm driving on my way to the hospital with thinking I'm going to pick them up. I've got the pram, I've got everything ready. And she phones me with this panicked voice to say, "The doctor says the baby's got a murmur in the heart. I don't know what that means." And you could hear how in 1 second almost her joy went to trouble and pain and fear and anxiety. And isn't it so often in our lives that our joy can turn into struggle very quickly? And I want to take you to a portion of scripture where something similar took place. By the way, within a month of that situation, we had a scan with that child of ours. And when we went for the scan, the doctor that looked at the results was looking at it like this. And then he asked me, "So what do you do for a living?" So he said, "No, we're pastors." So he said, "Oh, that explains it. Your child is completely healed. It's a miracle." So, you know, we went from the joy to the sadness to the joy again, and praise God for that. But I want to take you to John 20, and if you have a Bible with you, it'll be great if you can turn with me to John 20, or otherwise make a note of John 20 that you I'd like you to go in the week and read John 20 for yourself and ask the Lord to speak to you also even more through this portion of Scripture. John 20 from verse 19. This event that we're going to read now is one of the occasions where Jesus appeared to His followers, His disciples, after He was risen from the dead. And this event is one of the first ones where Jesus appeared. In fact, this is the Sunday evening of the Sunday morning that Jesus was first seen having risen from the dead. So the news was starting to filter out, but the disciples didn't know, could they trust the sources? Is this real? What was really going on? And we pick up the story that Sunday evening. The scripture says the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," He said. As He spoke, He showed them the wounds in His hands and His side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, this event is captured in three of the Gospels. And if you take all three accounts and you sort of bring them together, you get a fuller picture of what happened that evening. And I don't have time to do that today, but I'm going to mention some of the different aspects that we see unfolding in this story. So here we find the disciples locked up, afraid in a room. Now these were the same guys that a couple of days earlier that week were at the height of joy, hope, and expectation. I'm referring to the day that they were with Jesus, led into Jerusalem with the triumphal entry. Remember the day when the crowds gathered and they put palm leaves on the road and they gathered on the side of the road and Jesus came riding in on a donkey and the crowds shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the King." And the disciples were right there and it must have been a moment where they went, finally, the people are realizing who Jesus is. Finally, they're giving Him the respect and the honor that He's due. Finally, the message is getting through. For 3.5 years, we've been working hard to make people know that Jesus is not just a regular guy, that He is the Son of God. And finally, it seems as if the message is breaking through. And it must have been this amazing event. I mean, the disciples must have been taking selfies with Jesus and posting on their Facebook pages and Twitter feeds everywhere, you know, "I'm with Jesus," you know, and thinking, "Wow, if Jesus is the King, then perhaps, you know, what position will I get in the kingdom that is to come? And, you know, I'm closer to Jesus. And there was this hope and this excitement that filled that team as they were, "Wow, finally it's happening." But we know the rest of the story. That same crowd went from shouting Hosanna to crucify Him. That same crowd gathered, mocked Jesus. That same crowd spat at Him, said terrible things about Him, brought Him into that place where finally He was crucified. And then He was buried. And we know that in that situation, the disciples, how quickly things changed for them. Quickly they rushed home and took off their selfie photos with Jesus. and removed every reference to Jesus from their status, unfriended Jesus even, some of them, because they didn't want to be associated with Jesus. I mean, the servant girl came to Peter and said, you know, I see on your Facebook profile that you are a follower of Jesus. He says, no, that's not my profile. That's a hack. You know, that's not me. Somebody hacked my profile and said, you know, I don't know Jesus. And they quickly disowned Jesus and they disassociated and distanced themselves from Jesus because they feared for their life. And now we find them. Now I know some of them did it differently and John was seen with Jesus, but you understand the feeling that I'm trying to bring across. And here they were now that Sunday night hiding in a room, locked away. Probably it would have been very interesting to hear their conversation. I wonder if there was some incrimination going on in that room that night. Perhaps some of them were pointing fingers at Peter and saying, but you disowned Jesus. You turned around and you promised Jesus that Thursday night, you promised him that you will always be with him, and only the Friday you disowned him. And Peter probably pointed at some, yeah, but you, and imagine the feeling that was in that room, the fear that gripped them. In Luke's version, you get a little bit of a better picture of how really afraid they were, fearing for their lives. I wonder if they were busy planning some escape routes, thinking about how were they going to get out of Jerusalem? How are they going to get out of the trouble and just run for their lives? These same guys that were so hopeful is now caught in fear. And now we read of some interesting thing happening. While these guys are afraid in their room, the scripture says, and suddenly Jesus appeared among them. Now, if you read Luke's version, it says, and suddenly Jesus appeared among them, and they were even more afraid because they thought it was a ghost. Now, I read this portion of scripture, and I must say, I found it a little bit difficult to understand what Jesus was doing. I mean, if I'm locked away in a room afraid for my life, the last thing I need is a ghost to appear in the room with me. It's not, that does not make you feel peace. That just makes you feel even more afraid. And it's almost like I said to Jesus, Lord Jesus, what are you doing here? If you really wanted to bring peace to them, because remember, he appeared and then said, peace be with you. If you really wanted to bring peace to them, I can think of a few other ways you could have sort of come into their midst that would give them more peace. You know, probably knocking at the door quietly. That already would have given them a fright because they don't know who it is. And if you said it's Jesus with the softest, nicest, kindest voice you could muster, perhaps even Lord Jesus, if you could just manufacture a few doves to fly in and just have a couple of angels just singing, you know, quiet hymns, it would have soothed them so much more. And then when you stepped into the room, it wouldn't have probably been so necessary to say, peace be with you. But appearing in the midst of the room, ba-doom, just out of the blue. Come on, Jesus. Really, was that necessary? What were you doing, Lord Jesus? Were you showing off? What were you doing? And now, I'm allegorizing seriously here, so forgive me for that. But I wonder, and I cannot say this is definitely the case, but I wonder if Jesus wasn't trying to make a point by appearing in the midst of this bunch of afraid guys, making them even more afraid, and then saying, peace be with you. And I think, now you're welcome to disagree with me, because this is me guessing. I can say this is what I prayed and the Lord said to me. But that doesn't mean it's true. Okay, but I think Jesus was trying to make a point. And the point that he was trying to make, I want to use a quote from Sheila Walsh, where she said, peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. You see, within the context of this event, I think we've got to understand what Jesus is trying to communicate to them. He was not coming to say to them, I'm coming to bring you peace. Everything's okay, guys. Don't worry. You don't have to hide anymore. I've got a couple of million angels behind me here, and I've spoken to Caesar, and I've sorted things out. You really have no reason to fear. You can come out. Peace be with you. I don't think that was what Jesus was trying to say to them. That's not the type of peace he was referring to. He was saying to them, peace be with you. And then he showed them his hands. He showed them his wounds. He spoke to them about how he was sent by the Father and that he was also now sending them. And then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. I think what Jesus was saying to them is, guys, you are in real trouble. And if I'm honest with you, you're going to face real trouble for a long time still. If Jesus would, I don't think he said this to them, but he could have said to them, some of you are going to be crucified and died in similar ways that I suffered. You are in real trouble. Your trouble that you're feeling right now is real, and it's not about to go away, but peace be with you, because I will be with you. It's a different kind of peace. You see, sometimes we want the peace that is because the problem disappears. I mean, if you get an account through the mail or via email nowadays, and whether it's a city council account or a doctor's account or something, and at the bottom of that account is some ungodly number that you go, when you read it, and whoever says you owe them so much money, then you go, Lord Jesus, how can this be? Lord, I need a miracle. And then if the phone rings or you get another email a little bit later to say, oh, so sorry, we made a mistake. That is wrong. You don't owe us that money. How many of you know that you experience peace in that moment? Your anxiety moves to peace. And it's great that when we face trouble from time to time, we call out upon the name of the Lord and we say, Lord Jesus, I need an intervention. I need a miracle. I need you to do something that will change and that'll solve this problem, that'll take me out of this trouble. And it's tremendous. It's great if God does something and your immediate problem just disappears. How many of us have testimonies like that where God has done something like that for us? And that's phenomenal. Sometimes we will receive peace because God answers and addresses our trouble and delivers us from the trouble. But there's also times when God will allow us to stay in the trouble, where what we need is long-suffering, perseverance, the ability to overcome, the ability to stand. When you've done all else to stand, stand. When it just doesn't seem like there's a solution to the problem, and we pray, God, give me the strength to endure. How many of you know that sometimes is a reality? You see, trouble is our portion in this world, because this world is not our home. This world will never be the place where we are quite comfortable. This world will never provide for us everything we need. We will always have things inside of us that is just other than this world, that makes us feel uncomfortable. But not only that, we must also understand that we are in the enemy's territory, in a sense. Jesus said to his disciples in this, he said, just as my Father has sent me, I now send you. What was Jesus sending them to? Jesus was saying, just as I've come, to come and take over a kingdom that now belongs to the evil one, that is now a kingdom of darkness, to change that kingdom and to bring that kingdom under the lordship of my Father, and to make this kingdom of darkness become a kingdom of light. Therefore, in a sense, Jesus is sent as an envoy to come and declare war on this kingdom, to say, I have come to change everything. And that's why Herod tried to kill the baby Jesus. Jesus was coming into a war zone. Jesus said, in the same way that I have come to change things, to salvage this kingdom and bring it back into the kingdom of God, I am now sending you in that same way. So you and I must understand, not only is this world not our home and we're not quite comfortable here, we are actually engaging in warfare. We are every day pushing the boundaries. We are every day confronting the enemy and saying, this world belongs to our God. And he says, no, it belongs to me. And we say, no, no, it belongs to our God. And every action we take, every prayer we pray, we are fulfilling what Jesus said when he said, Father, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We are engaged in this battle. Therefore, trouble will come. You don't have to look for it. And my advice for you is, don't look for trouble. Don't look for trouble. Don't try and be a martyr and find ways. You don't have to. It'll come your way. If you live for Jesus, if you stand for Jesus, if you tell your story, if you're just a believer, trouble will come your way in this world. But therefore, Jesus comes and stands next to you and he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now, in this world of trouble, peace comes to us in these two ways. Peace comes to us either because God does a miracle. And whenever you face trouble, pray and trust God for a miracle. Trust God that in every troubling situation you face, every time you feel the reality of this world, its brokenness, its fallenness, every time you deal with it, pray and say, Lord, I trust you for a breakthrough. I trust you for a miracle. I trust you to do something supernatural. I trust you to shift something, Lord, that I cannot shift. I trust you to do more than I could even ask or think, Lord. I trust you. Pray that with every bit of faith and do that with every bit of conviction. But also, pray, Lord, for your name's sake. You see, because ultimately, it's not about me. My highest goal in life is not my peace. It's not my well-being. It's the kingdom of God. It's that His name be glorified. It's that His name be honored. And if His name will be honored and glorified through a miracle, then so be it. Praise God for that, and I get the benefit of that. Awesome. But if God's name in this situation will be glorified because I can stand and be patient and hold on and fight the good fight of the faith and stand and pray and trust and long-suffering, and if that is how God's name will be glorified in this situation, then so be it. I cannot live in a world where I think God's name will only be glorified through the supernatural manifestation. Because sometimes God needs me to stand amongst the trouble to become His place that through authority can flow through me and change not just my life, but the whole situation. And sometimes God will place us in the midst of trouble because He wants to redeem and save others. And if we are always just looking for the way out, then His kingdom cannot come. And we must understand this. So Jesus comes and into His disciples that are facing death and this trouble, He says, peace be with you, because I am with you. You see, this is the great thing. Tomorrow or today or whenever you face trouble, Jesus is with you. And His presence is your reason for peace. You're welcome to phone the church and phone the Hope Line or phone your pastor or phone your small group leader and say to them, please pray for me because I'm facing this difficulty. And they will pray for you. But all they can do is, as we pray for one another, is to pray, Lord, let us know your presence. I can pray with you and say, Lord, I ask you for a miracle for this person, that whatever trouble they face, and on a Sunday after the service, and we pray for people, we pray with all the faith we have to say, Lord, do a miracle, deliver this situation, provide the work, whatever needs to be done. Lord, we trust you for it. But Lord, let your presence come. If that's how your presence will come into this person's life, so be it. But Lord, if it's necessary for your purposes, and you understand, we do not make this distinction. I cannot determine how this must happen in my life. If it's necessary for God's kingdom that I stand and be a conduit of peace in a difficult situation, then I pray, Lord, let your presence come in that way in this person's life. That each of us, no matter what goes on in our week, will know Jesus is with you. He's with you by His Holy Spirit. Whatever trouble you may face. And therefore, I have reason to have peace. That no matter what the situation is that I face, I can have peace. I can have that sense. Now, if we talk about the word peace, we must understand what that word means. In the original language, we all have heard and know the word shalom, the shalom of God. Now, the shalom of God is the well-being of God. It is the goodness of God. We're not talking about a peace that is just, everything's okay, peace. We're talking about a peace that says, God will do everything to work it together for your good within the context of what is good for His kingdom. That is the peace of God. The peace of God is Him. It's not something, it's Him. It's God coming into your situation and saying to you, I am doing everything necessary for your well-being, for your good. Within the context, ultimately, all of our good is that the kingdom of God be established. So God is saying, I'm bringing you my shalom. So when I say, when Jesus says to you, or when we greet one another and we say to each other, peace be with you, we're not just talking, may you have a calm life, may you have a quiet life, you know, may all the robots be green in your favor. You know, we're not just saying that. We're saying, may God be in your everything, because he is your shalom. You see, and the shalom of God comes in three levels. The first level, if I can quickly mention that to you, is he brings us eternal peace. Then he gives us internal peace, and then he gives us external peace. The eternal peace of God is the peace of God that I know, that I have, because I know I'm in right standing with God. I used to be an enemy of God. I used to be on the other side of the line. I used to be in the kingdom of darkness. But now, because of Jesus, I am in the kingdom of light. I am a child of God. I am his very own. I am at peace with God. He's on my side. I have a covenant with him. And he says, I will do all things for you. Everything I have belongs to you. I am at peace with God. Therefore, whatever difficult situation I face, I can go to my Father and say, Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm facing trouble. And he will always say, I'm for you, not against you. He will always say, I'm going to do what is ever is good for you in this situation. He will always say, my grace is sufficient for you. He will always say, everything I have is at your disposal, because I'm at peace with God. And because I'm at peace with God, I can also have internal peace. I can be satisfied in the sense that God made me. I am who I am because of who he is. He chose to make me this way. There's a couple of things that if I look at myself, there's a couple of things I'll say, Lord, one day we can have a conversation about this. You know, I really used to look a lot better when I had hair. And if you doubt it, you can go on the wall there by the training center. There's photos, 1989, 1990, 91, with a Louis with lots of hair. And I looked a lot better. But I'm at peace because I know God made me. He loves me. He's got only good things in store for me. And I can be at peace with myself. I can rest in his shalom and say, God is good. Whatever's going on inside of me, whatever struggles I have, when I'm fighting with my own sinful issues and with my own just weaknesses and quirks, I can say, thank you, Lord, that I can deal with these things. First of all, knowing that you love me and none of these issues are going to change that. And secondly, that all of these things, I have the victory in you, that I can overcome these things. And if I can't overcome them in this lifetime, I will die trying, Lord, because I know you have given me the victory. Because in you, I have it all. I can be at peace with myself. And you see, when I'm at peace with God and when I'm at peace with myself, then I can be at peace with everybody else also. I can have external peace. I don't have to fight with people. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to feel like everybody else is encroaching on my right to life and everything I need for living. No, I've got a God who's for me that I'm at peace with. He made me who I am. I don't want to be somebody different. I don't need something else. I'm at peace. Therefore, hey, man, I'm at peace with everybody else. And even when I'm in conflict with somebody else, I can forgive them because God forgave me, so I can forgive others. And I can be at peace. And this shalom of God can fill my whole life and my whole experience. I can live in the shalom, not because I do not have trouble, but in the midst of the trouble that I face. It is really as simple as this reality. That somewhere along this line, everybody that's listening to this message, and even the people that aren't listening to this message, you just may be a little bit better prepared. You will face trouble this week. Sorry, Pastor, you shouldn't say things like that to people. This is a faith church. You will face trouble this week. And no matter what that magnitude of that trouble is, it may be completely overwhelming, and I don't want to belittle that, and I don't want to say, just get over yourself. No, it's real trouble. These disciples were not make-believe. They were in real trouble. Jesus didn't come to them and say, oh man, come on, grow up, you know, be a man and get out there. He came and ministered to them in their reality of their trouble they were facing. And you will face real trouble. But in that moment when the trouble is surrounding you, you can stand still and say, thank you, Jesus, that you are with me. I am not facing this alone. You are with me. And you are for me. And when that becomes my overwhelming reality, the trouble doesn't necessarily disappear, but it just comes into the right scale and the right perspective and the right position in my life. Trouble is real, but God is good. But this victory that we have in Jesus not only gives us this peace that Jesus is with us, it also gives us joy. It says in the scripture that once they've now settled down and they realize it was Jesus, Jesus held out his hands to them and he showed them his wounds. And he showed them the real trouble that he's been through. But now he's standing in the midst of them after having died from these wounds, now having been risen from the grave, he says to them, these wounds have been overcome. And the scripture says, and their joy was made full. They were filled with joy. You see, today when you say, Lord Jesus, I'm in trouble and thank you that you are with me, that Jesus that's with you can then show you his hand and the wounds and say, don't worry, I've overcome the worst kind of trouble before. I can deal with your trouble. I actually went into the very recesses of trouble. We just call it hell. I faced the troublemaker and I overcame him. I can do the same for you. You have a reason for joy. And therefore, Paul is so bold as to say, bless the Lord. In every situation, praise his name. In everything, have a reason for joy. When you face trials and persecutions of various kinds, say, Lord, I rejoice in you. Though everybody may look at me and think, are you absolutely crazy? I always have a reason for joy because I see the wounds of my Jesus. Those wounds not only overcame death, but they paid for me to overcome death. And even if I die of my trouble, even if the trouble that I face ultimately causes me to lose my life here on earth, that's okay because I've got an eternity where I'm going to be at home with no more trouble, but with Jesus. And that joy is my portion. So you can expect that when you're in trouble, your trouble can turn to your joy. Long before the situation's actually changed, your trouble can turn to your joy. And not only does it give us joy, but the sense of victory that we have in the midst of trouble also gives us purpose. Because Jesus said to his disciples, as I have been sent, I now send you. And I want to tell every person here today, me included, and remind us of that fact that you are a sent one. You have been sent by Jesus into this world. You carry him into this world. You carry healing to a broken world, restoration to a divided country. Our country needs restoration. Our country needs people that says, no, we are not divided by race, gender, economic standing, education. None of those differences divide us. We are a united people because we all one before Christ. We are not a divided church in this city. Though our doctrines may be different, our emphasis, our liturgy may be different, no matter how many differences we have, we are still one in Christ. And that gives us purpose. Tomorrow when you're in your workplace, you are there for a purpose. Your work in and of itself, whatever your work is purpose in God. If you're a teacher, if you're an engineer, if you're a bus driver, if you're a security guard, whatever you are, there is godly purpose in your work. But also you in that has also got a purpose. We are sent by Jesus. And therefore, this portion ends with Jesus saying, let me give you the Holy Spirit. And he breathed over them the Holy Spirit. And they received the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting here to note that Jesus breathed over them the Holy Spirit, but they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in fullness, in practice. But in reality, they already actually received the Holy Spirit here in this occasion, because Jesus breathed over them. And Jesus said, ultimately, it's better for you that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Because every day when you are in your mission field, every day when you are engaging in this battle, every day that you are out there with the purpose of the kingdom, the Holy Spirit is with you, enabling you through the fruit of the Spirit, empowering you through the gifts of the Spirit. He is with you. You are the hope of this city, of this nation, of this world. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. I want you to stand with me this morning. As we are ending off, I'd like you to just to take a moment with me, if you don't mind. And I want to pray for you. And can we first just pray and say, Lord, whatever trouble we face in our lives, we bring that trouble to you. And we ask you for a miracle. We ask you for a supernatural deliverance. We ask you that you will do something, that this problem will disappear, this trouble will fall from us like this, so that your name can be glorified. And Lord, we ask that if it is your name that will be glorified through us persevering, give us the strength so that your name can be glorified. Are you okay to pray a prayer like that? Are you all right to accept that? And if you are, let's just pray together. Just close your eyes. Just put yourself before Jesus. This is about you and Him. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with me in every trouble that I face. Every trouble, even the trouble I make for myself, you are still there with me, Lord. In every trouble, thank you for your peace. And right now, Lord, I invite you into the trouble in my life. But Lord, my higher purpose is not just for my life to be trouble-free, but it's for your name to be glorified. And I give you the right as my Lord and Savior, as my King, to take my trouble and turn it around for your honor and for your glory. I ask you, Lord, that whatever trouble I'm facing, right now I trust you for a miracle in Jesus' name. I trust you to do something, Lord, that is beyond what I could even ask or think, that is supernatural. And we mean that, Lord, we pray right now even, deliver people from trouble in Jesus' name. Deliver people from persecution. Deliver people from tribulation. Deliver people from sickness. Deliver people from financial trouble, whatever, relational trouble. Deliver your people, Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name, so that your name will be glorified. But Lord, we also pray that if your name will be glorified because we stand and we hold the kingdom of God in the midst of trouble, we pray for your peace right now in Jesus' name. We look to you and we say, thank you, Jesus, that you are with me, that you give me the strength, the endurance, the faith, the hope to stand in the time of trouble. I receive your peace right now. Just receive the peace of Jesus. If you're listening to this message on YouTube or by the radio, can I just pray for you and just include you and say, just let the peace of God, that peace that surpasses all understanding, just receive the peace, the shalom of God. Not just a sense that it's okay, but a sense that He's with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, right now we ask that as we go forth, sent by you into this world, it's a scary world, Lord, but thank you that we have the Holy Spirit. So right now, if you don't mind, I'm going to just breathe over us all. And just receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just breathe. Your Holy Spirit over us, Lord. We receive your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you empower, enable, equip us so that through us your kingdom will come. We have a purpose, Lord. I pray, Lord, that every person's, whatever work they do, if they're studying, if they're at school, whatever, Lord, if they're without work, Father, I pray that all of our hands will become the kingdom's hands, Lord. That our work will change this, this city and this nation. But that through us will come the works of the kingdom also, Lord, in Jesus' name. We trust you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive the Holy Spirit. You may be here today and you may say, but I don't have peace with God yet. I can't have this other peace that you talk about because I haven't got peace with God yet. And we quickly want to give you an opportunity to come. And we'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody here this morning? Just raise your hand if you say, I want to make peace with God today. I want to enter into this peace, this shalom of God. I've never chosen to give Jesus lordship of my life. My life's purpose has not been to glorify him. But I now understand that I cannot have peace if I do not give him my life first. Anybody that wants to raise their hand? Anybody? I don't see a hand currently, but so if there's a hand and I'm not seeing you, forgive me, wave at me. But I'm going to close the service. There's a couple of hands, thank you. I'm going to close the service shortly, but I want, before we all run out of here, we want to just give those people opportunity so that we can stand with them and pray with them. And just put our arm around them and say, you're not alone. Not only is Jesus with you, but we also would love to be with you. So if you've raised your hand and you're okay, won't you just come to the front quickly? We're going to have some of our team, our pastors, they're going to meet with you. And all that's going to happen is they're going to pray with you. So can we give them a minute before you all run out here? I'm going to release you now just to come to the front. If you want to say, Lord Jesus, I want peace with you. I know some of you are at the balcony and we'll give you time. Just come down. Just now we're going to invite anybody else that wants prayer for anything. If you just want somebody to pray with you and ask you to have the presence of Jesus among in your trouble, we'd love to pray for whatever trouble that is and just pray with you. So I'm just going to give a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sir, for coming forward. If there's anybody else. Thank you, ma'am. We really appreciate it. Just give him a good round of applause and just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you still want to come to the front, please come. But in a minute, that's great. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, there's people coming. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, ma'am. You're still welcome to come to the front, but I'm going to bless the congregation and release you to go. May you have a wonderful Mother's Day. Remember all the men, you do the dishes today. Amen. I say amen. 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 Have a great day. The Lord bless you. I'm going to be with the young adults tonight. Looking forward to that service. So if you want to join us there tonight, we're going to have a bit of fun. Have a great day. Amen.